Hi, I'm Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, and this is episode number 12 of the Mojo for Running podcast, Running Injuries and Common Sense. Aches and pains, running injuries, deserve more attention than any other running-related issue. After all, an injury can end your running career instantly, and when that happens, nothing else matters. Now, some of you are saying, well, she said aches and pains and then running injuries. There's a big difference between aches and pains and running injuries. Well, here lies the very first problem. Runners do get aches and pains quite a lot, and often they don't mean much of anything. We all know sometimes you start running and you have an ache or a pain somewhere, but half a mile down the road it's completely gone and you forgot it ever happened. That happens. But sometimes these things can actually be injuries. Think about it. Have you ever had a cold? Just a bad cold, a really bad cold? You feel dreadful, absolutely dreadful. But you're not usually in any real health danger. You just have to give it a few days and it goes away. On the other hand, there are people who have very serious illnesses who feel pretty good most of the time. Sometimes people are terminally ill and they are in no discomfort really until right before their death. So by that same token, the thing about running injuries is that sometimes aches and pains should be considered injuries, sometimes not. That's the way it is. The point is you can't necessarily tell by the severity of how bad it hurts how severe it is as far as physiological threat to your body. Let's say you start having knee pain, hip pain, or foot pain. If you're like many runners, you try to continue to run. If you're like other runners, you go immediately to the doctor. Or maybe, if you're like still other runners, you take a route in between. You back off of your running and you ice down. Now, is the correct answer A, B, or C? Unfortunately, it's very difficult to know the right answer. It's not nearly that easy, and of course, the right answer will vary. You'll know the answer, of course, eventually, after the fact. Hindsight's 20/20, right? One sure thing about running injuries is that they're often difficult to diagnose. And they're often misdiagnosed. In one too frequent scenario, a runner allows another runner to diagnose the problem. Bill mentions to Bob that he has pain in the base of his foot. Bob remembers when he had plantar fasciitis, and he tells Bill that's what's causing the pain. Then he teaches Bill some stretches to do. Now, maybe that turns out to be just exactly what Bill needs, but what if it turns out to make the condition worse? What if Bill's problem is something entirely different? Unless the other runner is a professional, it's not a good idea to accept the other runner's amateur diagnosis. The other runner is only trying to help, and the other runner may be right, but the other runner also may be wrong. When a runner tells me about an injury, an ache or pain, and they tell me that they have self-diagnosed cause, I worry. If that person assumes the problem began recently and is isolated, I worry about that too. Sometimes that's the case, but sometimes the problem started long ago. For example, say your hip starts to hurt. The problem might be a hip problem, but it might go like this. You had an injury a year ago. Let's say you fell and experienced an injury to your back. Nothing was broken, and you were able to continue running. In a couple of weeks, the pain in your back went away. But in fact, during that two-week period, you modified your gait ever so slightly, subconsciously, to favor the injured side just a bit. Your body got used to running that way. Oh, and because you modified your gait, you also altered your arm swing, also ever so slightly, also without realizing you were doing it, to offset the slightly different gait. Turns out your left leg is now shorter than your right, too. Not really shorter, but it measures shorter because you torqued your torso ever so slightly to compensate. With everything taken together, actually, a lot has changed. Now the hip pain looks a bit different from this long view. Now, it's not really a hip problem, is it? The hip is a problem, but it started long ago and not in the hip. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I have no experience in the medical field. This is only an example. I'm just trying to make a point. Not being a medical professional, my chain of events, causes and effects might not be completely accurate. I apologize for that, but you get the idea. What I do know is that very often when something hurts, the cause of the ache or pain happened long ago, or at least a few weeks or days ago, and was actually located in a different part of the body. I've had my share of injuries, aches, pains, etc., and I've heard the tales of many runners as they pursued diagnosis and treatment. My point is just to take the long view, the big picture. If you see a healthcare professional and that person doesn't ask questions about past injuries, then you should be sure to explain them. Sometimes it's been so long that you'd forgotten, or almost forgotten, the original injury that, in fact, precipitated a whole series of physical changes that culminated in the current ache or pain. It's your job, as the patient, to make sure the healthcare professional knows the full story. Otherwise, that person is at a disadvantage and may misdiagnose the problem. Let's say you bake a cake, and the icing runs off of it and mostly ends up on the plate. Your mom comes over, and you say, "What did I do wrong? I followed the instructions in the recipe. At least I thought I did." Your mom says, "You did everything exactly as it said?" "Yes," you say. Then after a moment's more thought, you say, "Well, I did use 1% milk instead of whole milk in the icing." "I guess that's it." Your mother, having made thousands more cakes than you, suspects that's not the cause. "Did you use the right kind of sugar?" "Yes," you reply. "Did you wait until the cake cooled completely before icing it?" "Well, no, not quite," you say. "I was running out of time. It was 5:45 and I knew the guests would be here at 6:30. "Well, there's your answer," she says. "Essentially, you melted your icing by putting it on a still warm cake." Like your mom, your healthcare professional will probably ask the right questions. But if not, you must be sure to provide all the pertinent information. Otherwise, you'll ice the cake while it's still warm next time you are in a hurry, expecting a different result because you used whole milk instead of 1%. Whether that healthcare professional is a physical therapist, massage therapist, chiropractor, podiatrist, orthopedist, or primary care physician, make sure that person gets the full story. If the healthcare professional acts like he or she doesn't want to hear it, you may need to seek out someone else. Think about it. If the healthcare professional just treats the recent injury and the problem originated in some other part of the body, then the problem is not fixed or any improvement may be only temporary. The real problem has not even been diagnosed, much less treated. One time, years ago, I had a severe pain in my foot at the base of my big toe. I kept resting it for weeks at a time, but each time I went back to running, the pain got worse and worse, more and more intense, until I had to stop. Eventually, I took several months off. Still, the pain came back every time I ran. I gave in and went to a podiatrist. He told me he was sure it was a broken sesamoid bone and that I would need a cast. I said, "Well, it's been 9 months now. How could I still have a broken bone?" He said, "Because you never immobilized it." Anyway, he said, I needed a cast from my knee to my toes. I said I'd agree, but only if we verified that I did definitely have a break. So we agreed, and he sent me for an MRI. Guess what? No break. Not even a hairline fracture. So then he suggested a prescription for orthotics. He fitted me for them, or I don't know if you call it fitting, but he made a cast. I ordered them. Guess what? No relief. I went to a different podiatrist. He gave me a shot of cortisone. No relief. I went back for another shot of cortisone. Still no relief. Every time I ran, I could make it about a half a mile, and then the pain got so bad I had to stop. By then, it had been a year since the injury. I was chatting one day with the cross-country coach at the school where I taught. He said, "You know, I'm not much for vitamin supplements and such, but when I was having so much knee trouble that I had to ride a bike while my cross-country team trained, someone at a health food store recommended glucosamine. I started on that, and what do you know? It took about a month of taking the glucosamine, but the pain in my knee went away. I'm running with my team again." I tried the glucosamine too. I had to take it for about a month before I noticed a difference. But guess what? The pain in my toe finally stopped, and I have been running ever since without that pain ever returning. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think glucosamine is a panacea that will help everyone. I don't sell it either. I told the story just to show you that sometimes the solution is not what you expect. I have been to other podiatrists since then, and they were much more helpful and did not lead me to treatments that did not work. I don't want to give you the impression that I don't like podiatrists, because I think they are important to all runners. However, it might be a good idea to always seek out medical professionals who either are runners or who have the attitude that their goal is to help you continue to pursue the sport you love. Sometimes you'll need to see more than one healthcare professional, but don't give up. The point is to be very open-minded, accept that the injury might be hard to diagnose, and keep at it. Don't give up on running. One of my runners recently told me he went to a doctor about pain in his legs. His doctor told him that he doesn't have the body for running, and he should find another sport. Oh, how it pained me to hear that. Maybe the doctor was right, but I do hope that runner gets at least one more opinion. And if it was me, I'd get two or three to make sure the diagnosis was accurate. After all, I've seen amputees run. I've seen people with pretty severe physical deformities run. Always consider getting a second opinion if you're not satisfied with the diagnosis. If you don't know who to see, here's a tip. Ask other runners for recommendations of healthcare professionals. If you need knee surgery, for example, ask around. Make sure you find a doctor who has successfully treated many people in your local running community. Another idea is to get advice from the runners at your local independent running store. Remember to always listen to your body. And if you get an ache or a pain, pay attention to what you did differently that day or the last few days before that. Did you just get a new pair of shoes? Maybe the problem is that you need new shoes. Have you recently started running on a different surface? Did you just begin doing speed work? Did you just increase your mileage? Did you just start running off-road? How about cross-training? Did you change your cross-training routine? Sometimes, I think runners experience injuries and assume they're running related, when, in fact, they were caused by something entirely different. That, by the way, is what caused my toe problem. The day before the toe pain began, I had worked in the yard, digging a new flower bed, and I was pushing on the shovel with the forefoot of my right foot, over and over with all my body weight. The next day is when the pain started, and I did a really stupid thing, perhaps one of the dumbest things I've ever done. I had dropped off my car for repairs that morning at a shop 8 miles from my house, planning to run home. I needed to run that far anyway. After about a mile, though, the pain started. I should have called someone to pick me up, but I was stubborn and did a run-walk all the way home, despite the pain. I'm sure that caused much more damage. In that case, it was quite clear to me what caused the injury, but often you will find yourself unable to identify any cause of the pain. That's when you may find yourself playing detective. This is one reason it's so valuable to keep a running journal. Make notes of any twinges. Make note of when you change shoes, training, gear, terrain, mileage, cross-training activities, etc. These notes can be valuable if you end up playing detective and can help you get to the root of the problem much sooner. Sometimes it will take a while and visits to more than one healthcare professional, but don't give up. If you persevere, you will likely be able to get back on the road, running better than ever. Running injuries are a pain, both literally and figuratively. But as I frequently point out, running teaches us many lessons. One of them is patience, for sure. Looking at the big picture, making wise treatment decisions, and exercising patience will help you recover sooner and get back to your running routine faster. That's all for today. I'd like to think you will never have a running injury, but that's not realistic. I just want to help you deal with it efficiently and safely if it does happen. If you're looking for coaching, no matter where you live, consider my Coach on Call program. You'll find out about it at the Mojo for Running website. When you sign up for that program, we email at least once a week or whenever you have a question or need to discuss your training. Now here's today's quote. Do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do. I couldn't find out who said that, but it sure does seem to be about running. Some would say, I would say, I run so I can continue to run. That might seem not to make sense to a non-runner, but to any runner, I imagine it will make perfect sense.